My very first sermon that I ever preached, I still have the notes. I printed the notes out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it wasn't a very good sermon. But I liked the message, but I didn't quite fully grasp it until I began to see those scriptures actually lived out in two people's lives. About 23 years ago, Greg and Bobby Ball came to our church in the West, walked in one Sunday morning, and I'm telling you, they began to personify these verses. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. These two individuals love people. And let me tell you this, they love God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You are going to be so blessed today. How many remember T.D. Jakes' kind of cliche line when he used to say, get ready? You remember that? Yeah, well, okay. Get ready, get ready, get ready, all right? Come on, Church on the North Coast, get up on your feet. Welcome Pastor Greg and Bobby Ball all the way from Naples, Florida. Come on, give them a shout.
I love you.
You
can be seated. Ain't nobody can follow that. Ain't no way nobody can follow that. He's always, every time I've been 14 years learning from him. About 20 years I've been learning from, but I've been on staff for 14. But every introduction he does for a guest speaker, I'm feeling like, man, how's he do that? Like, it's just amazing. I'm happy to be here. How many remember when I was here before? Or how many don't? Let's see. How many have never seen me before at all? You know, who is he? All right, there's a whole bunch of you. So let me everybody else just put up with me for a few minutes and let me introduce. This is my wife, Bobby. She is definitely, absolutely, 100%, she is the better half. Thank the Lord for my wife. And about 6 years ago, I'm 54, I was 48 years old, and my wife and I had moved to Florida 9 years ago and started a church. Lol, how you doing? Hi, Patty. We moved 9 years ago to start a church in Naples, Florida. We didn't know anybody. I had never been to Naples, Florida. Had no idea where. I went to stay at Pastor's condo. Back then he had a condo there that was a vacation place for him to go vacation. And after we used to do Trip to Hell, which was an outdoor drama up in Lorraine, and 1 year after Trip to Hell was over, he said, you need to rest, man. Go to my condo and just rest for a week. And we went there to rest, and we got in the car and said, let's go to the next exit. And when we got off the exit, the Holy Spirit began to speak to us, and we knew we were supposed to move to Florida. And the kind of man that he is, as soon as I called him, I said, Pastor, I think we're supposed to start a church. He said, I know it's right. It's what God's saying. It's what God's doing in your life. There's a new anointing on your life, and you need to get it started. And he said, there are people waiting on you to start the church. And I just, like, blown away. And he has mentored me more than anybody else in my life ever. My father was a great man and a great soul winner. And he was anointed at helping me to become a soul winner. But nobody has impacted my life like Pastor and Pastor Tina. You are so blessed to have them. Would you just love my pastor and let him know how much you love and appreciate him? I know you're getting ready to open another campus. The Avon campus is getting started. Now we're getting ready to open another campus in Wycliffe. I called him the other day. I'm like, hey, what you doing? He said, I'm out here painting. I said, what? He said, I'm out here doing some work in Wycliffe. I'm like, man, who could keep up with that? I mean, it's just unbelievable. And he's an amazing leader and friend. I want to show you, sound people, do we have the video? Were you able to do the video? Some of you have already seen it, but I want to let you just see a little bit of the miraculous story of my life. When this happened in my life, I don't remember a whole lot. Can't recall a whole lot of what happened. Most of what I know, Bobby has told me. But I was dead for almost 15 minutes and in a coma for 3 days. But the resurrecting power of the Holy Spirit brought me out. Amen. Let's just watch and let you see just a little bit of the story.
I don't know. My husband and I were jogging, and he went down, and it's been like 4 minutes.
I need an address.
Okay. Okay, Valencia Lakes, your address.
Okay, I have, is he about 40 years old, your husband?
Yes. He's 48. He just turned 48 yesterday.
Okay, well, I have, EMS going.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Is he still not breathing? Hello?
On October 13, 2009, at approximately 0900 6 hours, I was dispatched to 2732 Orange Grove Trail in reference to a medical call, patient status unknown. Upon arrival, I observed Corporal James Streeter, ID number 1928, kneeling on the ground next to the patient later identified by his wife as Gregory Glenn Ball. Corporal Streeter was performing CPR on Mr. Ball. He had his AED out and was attached to the patient. Mr. Ball's face and lips were blue and discolored. He had just begun to breathe on his own. I spoke to Mr. Ball's wife, Barbara Ball, who advised me that they were running, and Mr. Ball ran ahead of her and suddenly dropped to the ground. She advised that she knocked on doors to ask for help, and no one answered. Mrs. Ball advised that she observed Corporal Streeter's sheriff's vehicle in his driveway. She knocked on his door and informed him of the situation. Corporal Streeter, who was not on duty, immediately responded to Mr. Ball and found him lying on the ground in front of the above address, unconscious and not breathing, with no pulse. Corporal Streeter advised that he immediately used his AED, which shocked Mr. Ball once. Corporal Streeter began CPR and advised that in the middle of the CPR, Mr. Ball had begun breathing on his own. EMS Medic Unit Number 10 arrived shortly after and transported Mr. Ball to Physicians Regional Medical Center on Pine Ridge Road. No further information at this time.
Family, your brother Jim Johnson calling, arise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just got the news. God is still on the throne, and you are healed of the Lord. Once again, we say, He would never leave you nor forsake you. What a comfort. And we just want to just have a prayer with you, and you are healed of the Lord because you are a servant, patient servant, and our entire family. Well, Pastor Greg Ball, we just pray with you now and agree with you and your family that you will rise again and never just stumble. The angel held you up. So in the name of Jesus right now, we come against this. We said a brand new heart put place, a brand new heart in that chest right now. In the name of Jesus, you can do it, Lord God. You gave the one that just something came against it, but we know that you are for us all. So we just love the Ball family, and we thank you for them, their commitment to you, Father God, and soldiers of the cross, leading the way. Hallelujah. You're the fisherman of men. That you to bless them in Jesus' blessed name. Heal, restore, make brand new. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining.
Can you squeeze my hand at all? Can you squeeze my hand?
There you go.
Yeah.
You're so strong. Stronger than anybody else I know.
Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. 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 I'm telling you, God is good, and there's nothing too hard for God. Isn't that amazing? God is so good. I want to talk to you this morning about victorious Christianity and living victorious. I want you to know something. Somebody in the room is going to get a breakthrough today. I just believe that. Somebody in this room is about to get a breakthrough. I don't believe it's an accident that you're here today. I believe God has sovereignly brought you here today to hear a word from the Lord, and you're about to get a breakthrough. I believe God's going to do something big in somebody's life. I mean, I didn't drive 20 hours from Naples, Florida to get here just to give you 3 points in a poem. I came with a word in my belly, and I'm believing for something supernatural to happen in your life. Everybody stand back up on your feet right now. Turn to somebody, grab a hold of somebody's hand beside you, and I want you to pray for them, and I want you to tell God, God, if you'll bless them, I'll praise you like I just got blessed myself. Come on, if you'll bless them, I'll praise you like I just got it from heaven for myself. Father, in the name of Jesus, open our ears to hear. Open our understanding to receive, God, and let the glory of God fill this house, and we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 amen. You can be seated. I believe. I was believing long before LeBron James ever got here. I've been a believer, amen. I've been believing. We're living in a prophetic window of opportunity. We're living in a day and an age where you've got to make a decision in your heart. What are you going to focus on? What is going to hold your attention? What are you going to say? What are you going to see right now? What are you believing for right now? Because if you're not careful, you're going to speak what the world is saying. You're going to speak all the hatred. You're going to speak all the evil. And you're going to be talking about, hey, it's going to get bad. It's going to get ugly. It's going to be rough. These next few years are going to be rough. I want you to get a prophetic voice and begin to declare it's not going to get rough. It's about to get glorious. Come on. Where darkness is, light shines bright. Amen. I want you to get it into your spirit who you are. We were preparing to come and getting ready to come here to minister, and I've known for a few months that we were going to be here, and I began to watch and type in online about prophetic words over Cleveland, Ohio, and seeing what God has been saying. I happened to tune in to Heidi Baker, who was a prophetic voice in the last days here. Heidi Baker began to prophesy over Cleveland. She said, I believe there's a move of the Holy Spirit about to hit Cleveland, Ohio, where in one service there'll be over 100,000 people that will come to faith in Christ. I'm not just grabbing that. I'm like, everybody in this room knows something's about to happen. You don't even have to be like really, really spiritual to know something's going to change. Something's getting ready to happen. And we live in a prophetic window of opportunity where we have to rise up and be salt and light. Amen. I want you to know something. I believe with all my heart, 2016 is going to be your best year ever. Come on, say it. Say it. Half the year is gone, and I want to stand on this pulpit today and prophesy over you. This will be the best year you've ever had in your entire life. My best year ever. Got to get this into your spirit. Some of you can't even say it because all hell's breaking loose in your life, and you're like, baby, I got nothing but trouble. But I want you to know something. I'm speaking to your trouble today, and I'm telling you, you're about to enter into a victorious Christianity. The story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. He says, but as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about what is this day to save many people alive. Everything that the devil's been throwing at you, every stumbling block that he's trying to put in your path is all an opportunity for you to gather that and become a building block for your future. In John chapter 8 and verse number 1, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Then he said to them, tempting them that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote in the ground, as though he heard him not. And so they continued asking him, and lifting himself up, he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Then he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when they had heard it, being convinced by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted himself up, he saw none but the woman. And he said to her, woman, where art thou accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The world desires to throw stones at you and mark you with the pain of your failures. The world is constantly throwing rocks at us and trying to hold us back from everything God has in store for us. The Bible talks about a stone of offense in 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. Therefore, to you who believe, he is the precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they have also were appointed. The devil loves to throw rocks at the believers, and he's always trying to wound you with your past failures. He's forever trying to remind us where we came from, who we used to be, and what we used to do, and how we can never do anything great from God because the past is too great. The devil loves to throw rocks at you. Anybody have any haters in your life? Come on, have you got any haters? You got any people that love to talk about your weaknesses? People that always remember the bad things that you used to do? You know, Satan loves to use people to accuse us. When I first got saved and started following the Lord, I started traveling with the Southern Gospel Band and traveled with the Payne family. We traveled all over the country. And after years of doing that, right out of school, I started traveling with them. Then we came back off the road and I started in youth ministry. And I went to a little church close by North Coast. I was a youth pastor there for about 3 years. And we left there and we came to church on the North Coast. And we got to church on the North Coast. And Pastor Caton began to see something in me that I didn't see in myself. And he began to cultivate and nurture the gift inside of me that I didn't even know I had. And he began to speak things into my life. And became a father figure in my life, a mentor, a real mentor in my life. Somebody that could go with me through thick and thin, and somebody that wouldn't look down on me when I messed up. We were talking about it the other day, you know, 14 years of ministry at Church on the North Coast. And I don't think he ever yelled at me. A couple times he said some pretty rough things to me, but he never really yelled at me. One time we was doing camp meeting, and I was supposed to go up there after Jesse Duplantis got done preaching, and he gave me about three or four things he wanted me to do. And so Jesse didn't give an altar call that night and just went on to the back. So I just got up, man. I preached and like give an altar call, and altar was full. I forgot everything he told me I was supposed to do, but I just got up there and preached. So afterwards, he sent Clarence and some of the guys, said, Pastor wants to see you in his office. And I thought he was going to come in there and, attaboy, you have, good job, you know. I walked in the office and he said, sit down. He said, when I tell you something to do, you do exactly what I tell you to do. And if you can't remember, write it down. I said, yes, sir. They made me a little notepad, said, write it down. Had it on my desk the next week at church, you know, notepad. Write it down. But, you know, he became such a father and a mentor, and he never, ever, ever really spoke harsh words to me. Even when I was doing crazy things, when he just became a real mentor. Well, I was somewhere doing something, and there was a guy there, and he says to me, where you go to church at? I said, I go to church on North Coast. He goes, oh, you go over there with Louie? Now, I knew right away something went right when he said, you go over there with Louie, because I've never called him Louie my whole life. I mean, ever since I've known him, he's been Pastor Caton, and I would never, no, I honor him. That's my pastor, and he said, oh, you go over there with Louie. I used to smoke dope with Louie over at U.S. Steel. I said, what? He said, yeah, I smoke reefer with your pastor. I said, well, he don't smoke no reefer no more. He's on fire for Jesus. But people always want to remind you of your past. They always want to talk about your weakness, where you used to be. They always want to throw rocks at you. But we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have to gather them rocks of offense and build an altar unto our God and know that God is greater than my past. Amen. Romans 8:28 said, all things work together for good of those that love God, who are called according to his purposes. Come on. When you face adversity, when you face unfairness and hard times, you must, if you want to live a victorious life, every time you face adversity and hard times, you must pursue holiness and purity. You got to pursue holiness and purity. And I'm not talking about churchy holiness, because I grew up with churchy holiness. I grew up Pentecostal holiness. In the church that I came from, there's about 50 people, and they was all a lot older than me. They was all older seniors, and there's about 50 people. The same people have been going to that church before I got there. And it was like this. Everybody was trying to out-holy each other. You know? In our church, women were not allowed to wear slacks. You weren't allowed to cut your hair. If you cut your hair, you was of the devil. You need to get deliverance. You weren't allowed to wear makeup. Women were not allowed to wear makeup. I went to one of the mothers of the church one time. Just a little boy. I said, hey, I don't understand why we ain't allowed to wear makeup. I didn't wear makeup anyways. So it wasn't about me. I was like, how come the women can't wear makeup in this church? They said, because we don't want nobody to lust. I'm looking around the church. I'm going, lust ain't our problem in this place. I don't think that's an issue in here. I mean, you get so old, lust ain't a problem no more. You know what I'm saying? Every old barn could use some paint. You know what I mean? Yeah, we weren't allowed to go to the movies. That was the devil house. Don't you go to the movies. Hey, we weren't allowed to have a TV. Anybody else ever grow up in here where you weren't allowed to have a TV in your house? Because it had antennas back then. We didn't have no cable. It had antennas. And they said, that's a one-eyed devil with horns and a tail plugged into the wall. We're allowed to watch no TV. We is holy. And then they come out where they said, you can't drink no Coca-Cola. We're not having no Coca-Cola in the house. I said, why are we allowed to have no Coca-Cola in the house? That don't make no sense. They said, because that bottle is shaped like a woman. I was like, Lord Jesus, we ain't got that. No. All we got is 2 liters in here, baby. This is a 2-liter church. Oh, Jesus, help me to preach. Lord God, get off of that. Amen. You know I'm telling you the truth. Hey, holiness in the highest form belongs to God. It belongs to God. A definition of holiness as it pertains to us Christians. It's being consecrated or dedicated to God's service. This is what real holiness is. Being consecrated and dedicated to God's service. A simple definition of purity. It's the lack of dirty or harmful substance in your life. A lack of guilt or evil thoughts. You can't control what thoughts come into your head, but you can control what you do with those thoughts. And if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, you've got to be aggressive in pursuing holiness, total dedication to God, and purity. And purity. In that first scripture text that I gave you from Genesis 37, in verse 16 to 36, the author of our story is Joseph, and he's sold into slavery. He's put in the pit. He's put in the prison. It's just the beginning of the adversity in his life. Challenges, struggles, things, rocks of offense that could normally just drive us to living bitter and living angry. But Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm telling you, it's going to be your best year ever in 2016. We're going to finish this year stronger than we've ever seen. Another story of adversity is the story of Job. Job goes through all this adversity in his life. Struggles and trials and everything is stripped from him and he lost everything. But if you get to the end of the story of Job and you begin to receive how God gave him double for his trouble and everything that he lost, God multiplied it back to him. Listen to, I found this in the New Century Version of the Bible. This is Job 36, 13 through 16. Those who have wicked hearts hold on to their anger. You got to listen to this, church. If you want to live a victorious life, you can't live with that anger and unforgiveness in your heart. Those who have wicked hearts hold on to anger, but God saves those who suffer through their suffering. You're going through this, you're not going to live in it. Those who suffer through their suffering, He gets them to listen through their pain. And God is gently calling us from the jaws of trouble to an open place of freedom where He has set the table full of the best food. That's a powerful verse. That's a powerful story. If you're facing struggles in your life and you're facing opposition in your life and it seems like the challenges just keep coming one after another, you take a step forward and it seems like you take 2 steps backward. It's like, where is God in all this? I want you to know you are suffering through your suffering and there is a table set before you and the days of suffering are about to change into the days of blessing and the fire of God is going to be on your life. Could I ask you just a real honest question? Because I'm just real and transparent. If you knew that suffering would give you the best year that you've ever had, would you be willing to say, bring it on? If you knew trouble would bring you to the place of your greatest victory, if you knew you had to suffer through 6 months of trouble to get to December 2016 and to be able to stand with your head up high and say, this has been the best year of my life, would you be willing to say, bring it on, God? Hebrews 12 and 2 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of God and said, it was worth it. It was worth it. Let me give you something here. To the two biggest choices you're ever going to make in life is this. Number one, the biggest choice that you're ever going to make in life is to follow Christ with all of your heart. Number one, biggest decision that you will make is the decision to radically all out, all in, sell out to God. It's the biggest decision that you'll ever have to make. The second biggest decision that you're going to have to make is, what will you do after you fall? What will you do after you mess up? What will you do when the stones of offense are thrown at your life? When your friends and the people that you love all of a sudden start speaking evil about you and tearing you down? What will you do when it seems like all hell is breaking loose in your life? What will you do then? In Micah 7 and 8, said, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Romans 8:31-39. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered us from all? How should he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who he condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. We all stumble and mess up. Deal with it. We all stumble and mess up. We are all going to have moments where we just don't get to the expectation that we have for our life. But in those moments and in those times, you've got to do an introspection of your life and say, it is time for me to pursue holiness, total commitment and dedication to God. It's time for me to pursue purity in my life. We who belong to Christ do not have to be mastered by sin any longer. Do you hear me? When you stumble, get up. When you fail, stand up straight and square your shoulders and know who you are in Christ Jesus. I say that to some of you and you look at me like that's some kind of brochure for Hawaii, like someday. I'm not talking about someday, I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about this is someday. I'm talking about right now. Sin has no control over your life. It does not master you. When you fall, get up. When you're hurt, take it to God. We need to live victorious. And you've got to be an in-your-face Christian. You've got to have some tenacity inside of you to say, I will not quit. I will not be defeated. I will not give in. Let me give you four critical areas to live in a victorious Christian life. Four critical areas. Number one, keep reading and praying back the scriptures. Keep reading and praying back to the scriptures. If you're not on a daily basis developing a habit of his word, you are missing real Christianity. We got enough believers. We need some faith people who will build their faith by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You have to establish a daily reading plan. I mean, one of the biggest, most powerful influences Pastor Kathan and Pastor Tina have had over my life is their love for the Word of God. Every day, day in and day out, there is a time window he won't take my calls. He won't receive my calls. He has got his face in that book and he says, this is my time with him. And he won't give that up for anybody. I'm just telling you, you better learn from the man and get it into your heart. This is the key to living victorious in Christ. It's consistency. Doing the same thing over and over and over again. Listen, if you miss the mundane, you'll miss the miraculous. It's just boring. I don't understand it. Sometimes I just don't get it. I don't care. I can read the Beatitudes over and over again. I can read the Begots over and over again. And I don't get a whole lot out of the Begots. You know, he begot him and he begot him. But if you read it long enough and you focus long enough on it, something will well up on the inside of your belly and you'll get a word from God. You have to be consistent. Even though you go through seasons when it feels like nothing is working, if you want to live a victorious Christian life, you have to be consistent in your Bible reading and praying back the scriptures. Saying what God said. Listen, when I died, Bobby put those headphones in my ear and Bishop T.D. Jakes was preaching in my ear until I came out of that coma. Jim Johnson's word that he prophesied over me. You will live and not die. A new heart. A brand new heart. She put that in my ears and played that over me time and time again. Because the word will not return to you void. It will accomplish that which it is set forth to do. You've got to develop a daily reading plan. John 8:31. Then he said to those Jews who believed in him. He's talking to Christians. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You want to live a victorious Christian life? Get in the word. Study the word. Number two, choose the right friends. This ain't for our teenage kids. It is for them, but it's for you too, Dad. It's for you, Mom. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You let me look at your friends and who you hang out with, who you're spending time with. You show me your friends, I'll show you where you're headed. If you're hanging around with a bunch of divorced folk that are all divorced and all talking about how sad they are and how gloomy they are, I'll tell you where you're headed. Come on. Well, how do you get the right friends? You be the right friend. You want to know how to get a right friend? Be a right friend. Never compromise. Never compromise. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. Others may, I may not. Other pastors may be slipping a little here and slipping a little there. But let me tell you something about this pastor. Others may, I may not. I made a decision in my heart. I'm going to say, you know what? I ain't trying to figure out what I can do and get to heaven. I'm trying to figure out what I can add to my life to get me to heaven. Never compromise. Never grieve the Holy Spirit. Never grieve the Holy Spirit. You want to be the right friend? Never grieve the Holy Spirit. Speak the truth. I don't care if it hurts. I don't care if they get mad. I love you anyways. A pastor says, hey, I love you and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen? Be the right friend. Fill your time with the right activities, the right thoughts. Positive thoughts, not negative thoughts. You got to fill your mind with the right thoughts. You can't control what thoughts come in, but I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can control what happens with those thoughts. Cast down every thought or imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and replace it with the right thoughts. There's only two kingdoms. Kingdom of light, kingdom of dark. Which kingdom meditates, which kingdom occupies your mind? Your business? What kingdom is occupying your mind? Getting in shape, getting ripped. Work out. What kingdom is occupying your mind? There's nothing wrong with that. But you got to keep your mind stayed on the kingdom of God. If you want to live victorious, once you have sincerely asked the Heavenly Father for forgiveness, you got to receive it by faith and don't mentally keep making yourself pay. You got to stop reminding God about your failures. And I believe in repentance, but you repent and you leave it there and you stop reminding God about how you messed up before. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. And the only way he remembers it, if you keep talking about it. A lot of people trying to drive forward looking at the rearview mirror. trying to go that way, but focusing all your attention on what's behind you. The past is behind you. You got to leave your past behind you and move forward. It'll lead you to devastation. If you keep focusing on your past and what you aren't able to do, and I'm not smart enough, and I don't know enough scripture, and I'm not bold enough, if I could just get one of the pastoral team to come, if Mary will come, or Pastor Adam will come over our house, and if one of them will come over here, we can get this breakthrough. I'm telling you, the breakthrough is in your hands and in your mouth. You are anointed, you are chosen, you are priests, and you are prophets of the Lord. Move past your past. Number four, when you mess up, you notice I said, when you mess up. Somebody said, well, you sin every day. I don't sin every day. I'm sorry. There may be some people that feel like they do. I don't. But I do mess up. I do have wrong thoughts. I do get frustrated with myself and get angry at myself. And I do. But I'm going to tell you something. When you mess up, you got to ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I sinning? Why am I choosing sin as my answer to the needs that I have? I know you may think this is heresy, but I'm going to explain it. Sin isn't your problem. Sin isn't your problem. Sin is your answer to your problem. Yeah. Genesis 3, 4, and 5. Then the serpent said to the woman, will you not surely die? For God knows the day that you eat of this, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan told Eve that God was holding out on her. And sin emerged when the devil talked mankind into meeting mankind's need, mankind's way. Sin's not your problem. That was dealt with at Calvary. Come on. Your problem is... The problem is deeper than that. When Jesus came to the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree, he didn't curse the branches, he cursed the root. Say, let's break it down. Say you got a problem, a sexual problem. You got a porn addiction. You got a porn problem. And you think porn is your problem. You think wandering eyes and a wandering mind and wandering hands is your issue. I'm telling you, that's not your problem. The problem is you don't understand intimacy with Christ. And you're choosing that outlet, porn, sex, whatever it may be, you're choosing that outlet to be the answer to your problem. The problem is trust. I'm telling you, the problem is trust. You don't have any intimacy with Christ. You have a problem stealing. When I was a kid, I had a problem stealing stuff. I don't even know why. I didn't even want the stupid stuff. I just steal stuff. We used to go up to it wouldn't call 7-Eleven, it was Lawson's. Y'all don't know what Lawson's is. Best chip dip in the world, man. Get you some French onion in there and you and Jesus have a party. Oh, glory to God. We used to go up to Lawson's late at night and just hang out up there. And made friends with the girl that was working behind the counter. And we'd ask her to go get us something in the back, and I'd steal all these little fuzzy balls. They used to have these little fuzzy balls. You peel the paper off, stick them on your dashboard. Had little eyes on them. I didn't even want them things. I just stick them in my pocket. She'd go back there, I'd grab one, put them in my pocket. Pockets are just bulging out with little fuzzy things that didn't mean nothing. But the truth is, I didn't have a stealing problem. Stealing wasn't my sin. I had a lying problem. If a man won't lie to you, he won't steal from you. And we got to learn this stuff. You got to get this into your heart. You have to understand and know. You got to get to the root of the problem. If you're going to have a victorious life, you got to get down to the root of the problem. Marijuana isn't your problem. Smoking weed isn't your problem. It's your answer to your problem. Listen, people who smoke weed say, man, you know why I smoke weed? It just mellows me out, man. I come home from work, smoke some weed. I'm like, oh, man. I just get in this peaceful place. Weed isn't your problem. Your problem is trust. Look at Isaiah 23 and verse 3. You will keep him who in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, when you understand that, and when you get to knowing who you are, you don't need anything else to take you to a peaceful place. That peaceful place comes from the Father. Alcohol isn't your problem. Coors Light, Budweiser, whiskey, rum. It's not your problem. The sin is you're drinking from the wrong fountain. I don't know if you know this. You can get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Like you can get, literally stoned out of your mind, drunk in the Holy Spirit. And you don't have a hangover from it. You're just drinking from the wrong well. You got to get to the root of the problem. Sin never satisfies. Sin never satisfies. God always satisfies. God always meets the need. I will supply all of your need according to my riches in Christ Jesus. There is nothing in your life that God can't satisfy with his presence. Holiness and freedom come when you're honest with yourself and what needs you're trying to meet in your life. Find out what's missing. Are you willing to renounce your answer for God's answer? Listen, if we're going to live a victorious life in 2016, you got to get your brain out of the driver's seat. Some of this stuff don't make sense to you, but I'm telling you, there is a place in God that he's calling the body of Christ, and it's a now moment when we got to get this into our hearts, and we got to be who God's called us to be. If you believe that, give God some praise. Man, the enemy is going to constantly keep throwing rocks at you. Offenses. Well, if Mary would have did it this way, it wouldn't have... Come on. The only thing that ever gets offended is your flesh. Your spirit has never one time ever got offended. It's your flesh. Stop. Realize you are anointed for the harvest. You are anointed for the harvest. You have a prophetic voice inside of you that needs to be released on the earth now. Well, every time I try to do something, somebody's always putting me down or somebody's trying to hold me back. It's a rock. Pick up the rock and build an altar. Pick up the stumbling block of offense and build an altar. Say, I refuse to be offended. I know who I am in Jesus Christ, and he's called me and anointed me, and this world needs the voice. Amen. You receive that from the Lord. Give the Lord a praise, everybody. Amen. Worship team, if you'll come up. Amen. Amen. Find out what's missing in your life. Go to the Heavenly Father. Open yourself up to Jesus and his love. Hey, this is going to be your best year ever. Your marriage is going to get better than it's ever been. Come on, do you hear me? Can you receive that as a word for the Lord, from the Lord, that you're about to experience victorious Christian life? Come on, some of you are mean mugging right now. You just got the mean mugging thing going on. Put a smile on your face. You're in the house of the Lord, and the voice of the Lord is saying to you, I want to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. I want to take you into a place where the river of God is flowing, and you wake up every morning with the joy of the Lord as your strength, and nothing has the power to pull you out of it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I wake up in the morning and the devil wants to lie to me and tell me all these lies. I'm just like, I hear that garbage truck. Beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, back it on in, devil. Because the more that you afflict me, the more that you torment me, the bigger my altar for my God. And greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. I am victorious. Come on, get on your feet and give God some praise, everybody. Stand up on your feet. Come on, if you believe that for a word for you, make some noise in this house. Hallelujah. Jesus! Yes, Jesus! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Everybody on your feet standing up, please, and just bow your head before the Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to come to you right now. Father, dispatch angels in this room right now. Lord, a big archangel, God, send an angel in this room right now. A warring angel, God, to go through these aisles and touch the hardened heart right now, Lord. Touch the one right now, God, that has got a hardened heart. Let the angels of God begin to minister to you right now. Now, Lord. Breath of God, breathe in this room right now. Wind of the Holy Spirit, breathe in this room right now. Thank you, Jesus. The devil is a liar. His days are numbered. We're about to bruise his head. He is a liar. He's held you back long enough. He's lied to you long enough. Today, if God's speaking to your heart, if you're distant and away from God, let me ask you, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Come on. Are you a believer or are you a woman of faith? Are you a man of faith? Hey guys, listen to me. It's the most important time of this whole service, man. Like everything I said is all to encourage the believer to live victorious, but right now is a moment in time. You realize, just a few years ago I was dead. My heart stopped beating and I was dead and no life in my body. Pastor Kenton and Pastor Tina flew to Florida. They all got around my side, but around my bed, was speaking and prophesying life into me. What if God kept me alive for this moment? I'm just saying, what if God needed you to hear this word for the season that you're about to come into? What if all of a sudden everything that I've been through in my life was all for this moment in your life? God has a plan for your life. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't given up on you. He drew you back to this house to hear me say to you, today is the day of salvation and tomorrow is promised to no man. I know the lie. I'll get right sometime. I'll be able to do this. And you know what? And when it comes my time, I'm going to cry out to God. Let me just remind you of something. The day that I died on that sidewalk, there was no chest pains. There was no, oh, ooh, what's that? Oh, Jesus. Lord, help me. Save me, Lord. Don't let me die. Don't let me go to hell. I was a man of God. And the day that I fell, that's the way I was going to face God. And some of you think in your life, you think you'll have time. I'll do this later. I'll change someday. I'll make it happen. Someday's today. And I'm here to speak prophetically into your life and to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. And you can't live this way any longer. You need to step out into God, step out into faith, and ask God to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart. I've been doing this long enough to know when the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on a room, and the Holy Spirit of God is in here. Holy Spirit of God is in here. The wind of God, the breath of God is on this room. Where would you spend eternity? Everybody close your eyes, bow your heart before the Lord. Every Christian praying right now. Stop. Do not go to hell. Stop now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I'm just going to do this, and I know it's kind of weird, but I'm just going to count to three. And I'm going to say, you know, on the count of three, if you're not right with God, and I know, like, when you've been coming to church for a long time, and everybody thinks you're good, and all that stuff, and I know you don't want nobody to know where you're at, but I'm telling you, stop it. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks right now. You may have been in this church for 5 years and you go, you know what? There's some things that I have not dealt with. I've got problems and I've been trying to deal with the problem and I haven't got to the root of the problem. And God says, today is your day to get free. Get free. On the count of three, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart, I want you to lift your hand to God. Be willing to surrender to Jesus. God, speak to their hearts now. Let them feel heat. Fire. Let them feel fire right now. Heat. Heat in their hands. Like crazy heat, God. Just turn up the fire in their hands right now and let them know that you're dealing with them right now. And I come for a breaking. I come for a setting free. I come here for a moment in time when God, you remove bondages off of people's lives. On the count of three, if God's dealing with you, respond to the Holy Spirit with lifting your hand. One. Come on, you're not responding to me. You're responding to the voice of God. One, two, three. Lift your hand right now if you're here in this room and your heart's not where it needs to be. Come on, there's a lot of hands going up, but you ought to be lifting yours. You know God's speaking to you. You know I have spoke to your heart right now. And if that's you, lift your hand and hold it up to the Lord right now. Right now. Everybody with your hand lifted, run to this altar. Come on, just get out of your seat and hurry down here. Just run right now. Like you're desperate for a drink. Desperate for God. Just run right now and say, God, I'm coming. Come on, turn to somebody next to you and say, did you lift your hand or should you have lifted your hand? And come and bring them right now. Come on and join me at this altar right now. Worship, guys. Go.
The King of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my yes. life. Oh, He is my song. You are good. You're good. Oh, You are good. You're good. The King of my heart be the wind inside my sail, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. Let the King.
Hey, Adam, have you got some young warriors that could come pray with us on here? Give me somebody here. Give me some prayer warriors to come and turn them toward you and pray a prayer with them, okay? Come on, just pray the prayer with them. Just turn them. And here's what I want to do. If you know God is speaking to you about living the victorious Christian life, if you were to look at your life and say, I'm not living the kind of victorious Christian life God has called me to, and I want to experience a greater depth of God's love in my life. If that's you, would you just come and line up across the front right now on both sides? Just come and face me. Just stand up close to the front and just come. And I want to agree with faith with you that you will experience the best year you've ever experienced. That 2016 is going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just stand right across the front. Come on, let the Holy Spirit minister to you right now. Just stand up all down that side, all the way down that side. Say, no, I want it. I want to experience that victorious Christian life.